singularity is something that sort of has been binding us together for the last year or so that we've been on.
This is Legs McNeil, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Here at WGXC, who's operating on a much smaller budget than even the other public radio stations. So if anybody out there wants more bang for your buck to help out your local community, please consider donating to WGXC. It is tax deductible and really helps out your community. Again, if you're interested in doing that, the phone number is 518-69-77-400, or to the more, standard people, 518-697-7400, and we will be happy to take any donation you would have for us.
It's called phone number rhythm.
Phone number rhythm.
Phone number rhythm. Gotta have it.
Nah, I could just say it any way I want. It's all the numbers.
Well, to the nerdiest of us, 7400 is a series of TTL gates that are the basis of the earliest computers. So, yeah, I don't have any trouble memorizing that number. It means a lot to me.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable. All the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Kurt Wayman of Theater Consultants Collaborative. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Give me liberty or give me death.
WGXC, the station that gives you liberty.
Good evening. You are listening to WGXC live 90.7 FM. Our call-in number is 518-697-7400. You are listening to Tech Talk with Ralph and Bill.
Bill, that your dyslexia has come creeping back.
It has.
And so I want to know, are you the guy in the famous joke about the agnostic, dyslexic, insomniac who used to lie awake at night in bed wondering if there was a dog?
I have a dog. So
there can be no doubt that there is a dog.
This is definitely not a problem for me.
Welcome to Tech Talk, Accra, Hudson, and the Upper Hudson Valley. We are here to answer your questions about technical glitches, gremlins, and, so appropriate this time of the year, goblins. So, Bill, have you heard any consumer tech news this week?
I have to disrupt your disruption. That's very
disruptive of you.
We're also doing the Essential Radio Fund Drive, and that you can find at wgxc.org/donate. We are on the road to raising enough money to cover monthly expenses. We really need continuing donors, supporters. You can donate one time, $5, $10, $1,000 would be better, but even more, whatever you can do, please go. This radio station is completely supported by donations. So we absolutely need and desire your support for shows like ours and many others on this radio station. So please do go to wgxc.org/donate and participate in our fund drive. We'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And by the way, if you are prepared to commit to $1,000 a month, I am pretty sure that you can require the WGXC management to take Tech Talk off the air in return.
So I don't think anybody would do
that.
They would do that to keep us on the air forever and extend the show to 24/7. You would not get any sleep. And they basically would do that just to see how long it would take for you to just sort of disappear as a person.
Well, that would be an interesting experiment. But somebody who was better at math than me said that for a paltry $5 a month at wgxc.org/donate, that translates into something like a paltry 17 cents a day, one thin dime and seven zinc quarters. So imagine all the listening pleasure that you are buying for 17 cents a day by pledging $5 a month. And by the way, it's not just your own pleasure. You are flooding the upper Hudson Valley, Hudson, New York, where the cocktail was invented, Accra, and other wonderful exemplars of American nobility with the wonderful bien pensée of Bill Collier and dozens of other viewer-created. I guess you've got viewers on radio, do you, Bill? Try to keep up. Listener-generated, authentic, artisanal, organic radio content. You just can't get that anywhere else.
Okay, and in tech news, you guys know what I'm going to leave with. How many people listening here, raise your hands, and I could see, okay, a couple of you raising your hands, you know what's coming next. You know what my lead story is going to be, even before I say it. My beloved, my favorite, my cherished TikTok has until Thursday, November the 2nd, to reach a deal with the U.S. corporation to save the app, after which point the government will block internet companies from, quote, carrying the app's traffic. Sounds sinister. And as I said,
it sounds socialistic.
I'm going to try to say this with a straight face. The government is worried. Oh, come on. This is hard. This is hard, Ralph. The government is worried about our privacy.
We cannot see your face on the radio, Bill. So thank God for that.
Okay. All right. So, however, in another stunning move for TikTok, who they're just taking it on the chin, Pakistan has banned TikTok citing morals. So I don't know what that means, but I assume that people making silly videos is somehow offensive. But, you know, this is the world we live in. So meanwhile, all the TikTok stars, for instance, Ocean Spray gave a TikTok star a new cranberry colored truck.
After
Fleetwood Mac video went viral. So yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I need to get on this bandwagon. Do you think I could make a video go viral before November 12th?
No.
Oh, you're so disappointing.
Well, you might as well give it a try.
Bago, I feel like I don't get the support from you. I need one and deserve.
I'm just trying to anchor you back here in reality. And Bill,
okay, in reality.
I should get double time for overtime for that thankless job.
Okay, so that was our TikTok talk. I don't know what else to say. I mean, what else is there in tech other than TikTok? The Facebook's new rollout pages, I think, are going very well. And I don't want anybody to get upset about that, but I am a big fan of the new layout.
Yeah.
Crickets from over there. I mean, do you even have...
I do have a Facebook page, believe it or not.
You do. You have a bit of a following, which, interestingly enough, we share. At least part of it anyway.
Yes. We are the Capitalist League.
Yeah, so you have a bit of a following. Day. I don't know who they're following more, Bill or Banco, or I suspect that it's probably for my good looks and charms.
Well, you
like the layout.
We can test that hypothesis. Remember when we had you that picture of you wearing your billionaire outfit with your monocle and your Beller hat as our introductory image to the site. And we grew under that fetching image up to 5,800 people. And the minute we took it down, we skyrocketed to 138,000 people. So
we did something else too.
Correlation or causation, you decide.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there were other things happening.
Well, let's let priorities be priorities.
Now, this is Android World, just in case anybody cares. Samsung's Galaxy Note 10, which is a fabulous phone, is now down to $550 at eBay. That's $400 off its retail price. So get a nice unlocked Galaxy Note 10. Go to eBay, look for it. Find somebody with reputable ratings, and you'll get yourself a wonderful phone at a fraction of the cost. Well, not a fraction, but less, $400 off of the retail. So that's sort of a new thing, because these phones are so expensive. I mean, can you imagine you'd ever be paying $900 for a phone?
Oh, yes, but they hide it because they break it up into little bitty bite-sized pieces and add it to your monthly phone bill. So you're barely even aware of it. But it turns out that, you know...
No, I don't know who does that for you, but I actually pay for mine, so...
I don't know what you're talking about, Minko.
Oh, welcome to the glories of Verizon, my son.
I just pay for mine because I don't like to have a huge bill every month.
Well, okay. But all I know is that I also read somewhere out there on the internet, and if you read it on the internet, it has to be true, that the Android operating system for cell phones is far more vulnerable to being hacked by a nefarious ransomware guy than the Apple operating system, than the iOS. And so if you're willing to save a few bucks in return for opening yourself up to being hacked, I say go for it. Go save the 5 or 10 bucks and get yourself an Android.
Wow, that is totally inappropriate. We have Carol from Cold Spring on the phone.
All right, Carol from Cold Spring. Welcome. I think you scared her off, Bill.
Wouldn't be the first one.
Nope, wouldn't be the first, won't be the last.
Carol, jump on the call and prove Ralph wrong.
Carol, jump on the unmute your mute button, and we will be able to hear you a whole lot better.
I wasn't muted.
Oh no, but we can hear you now. We can.
She must be on an Apple product.
Good. I have a question for you guys.
Okay, she's got a question for us. Speak right into the microphone, Carol from Cold Spring, because you sound a little bit faint.
I do? Is it better?
Better now.
Okay, so here's my question. I have a teaching assignment in a university in Michigan. And I took my own computer just in case I didn't have one there. And I didn't have one for the first couple of weeks, so I used my own. And I was working merrily along one day, and all of a sudden my computer got frozen, and I got a email from someone who said, "Do you want your computer unfrozen? Call this number." So I did. And this person said that he was aware that I had been locked out of my computer and he could unlock it for $69.95. And I said, okay. And I gave him the credit card number. And he told me that to hold the line. So I did. There, I was so nervous. And then he came back on and he said that the credit card company had denied it. And did I have another credit card? And I hung up. And I went outside and I chain smoked. And then I called this friend of mine who's an IT guy, and I told him what was going on. And he said, go back into your office and take your computer offline immediately. So I did. But in the meantime, while I was doing this, the person called back. And he said in a beautiful Indian accent, he said, we need another credit card company from you. Your credit card was denied. You have another credit card. And I said, well, this whole thing feels a little hinky to me, so I'm not going to do that. And he said, would you mind sharing with us which part of this feels a little hinky to you? And I hung up, and I took the computer offline. So I learned afterwards that I was a victim of ransomware. And I just wonder, is there something that I did wrong or something that I could do to avoid this ever happening again? The computer, by the way, we ended up having to wipe the whole thing because I couldn't trust it. And I had to get another computer. It was quite a fiasco. So is there something that one can do to avoid this happening?
Well, you need antiviral and anti-malware. And again, we've had this discussion before on the show with different folks. There's different kinds that are out there. But let me just say this so everybody listening can hear this, in addition to you. Never, ever, ever, ever call anybody when a message shows up on your computer. Never call anybody. There is a difference between ransomware and a scam. So in ransomware, your computer is locked, it's big old, and you literally can't do anything in the computer. That can happen. The other thing is, it isn't your computer that's locked. It's a web tab that keeps opening up because you went to a website, and now it'll just keep serving that web tab. And that you can generally take in to an expert, and like to your local computer repair shop or somebody like that. And they can usually get rid of that with no harm done. So it is important for you to know which of these scenarios you're dealing with. If you have ransomware on your computer and you can't get into your computer, and the first thing you do is you take it offline, you turn the thing off, you take it into somebody that can look at it. They may be able to recover it. They may not be able to recover it. But the bottom line is you don't want to pay anybody anything. Finally, with regard to your credit card, you should ask them to issue you a new credit card because it wasn't turned down. They're probably on the French Riviera right now using your credit card. So you got to check your credit card. How do you prevent it?
Well, they never did, Bill. It's been about 2 years, so I think we're good. I think the credit card company was really, really sharp, you know, so.
Wow, they actually did block it. Well, that is awesome.
This number and these people.
Yeah, so basically you need some good spyware and malware software, and I use McAfee, but there's all kinds that are out there.
Wait a minute, Bill, didn't they just arrest him for tax evasion?
He doesn't have anything to do with the company anymore. The software is good.
Okay.
Norton is also good.
But you're on one of those jalopy like PCs, right? What do you use you say that McAfee and what was the other one are good for
Norton.
PCs?
Norton.
Right. What's good for Macs?
You know, I was going to ask you that, Mr. Banco, because I don't know if you guys even have any such thing, because nobody really wants to hack a Mac anyway, because so few people have them.
Oh, well, that's, you know, sour grapes. But
there was a Mac, Ralph.
What's that again, Carol from Cold Spring?
It was a Mac.
Holy Klobowski. Wow, that is unusual. Hey, hold on now. I got to hold on to this moment. I'm very sorry this happened to you, Carol, but I do have to hold on to this moment.
Because of the Schadenfreude. Finally, for the first time in his life, he discovers that a Mac has been infected with malware. Carol from Cold Spring.
Yeah, there's a and by the way, I should software. Tell you that the research that I was doing was on a Russian website.
Yes, well, you have to watch out in Russia.
Alton Hattersall.
There are a bunch of cowboys over there. But go to Malware Bytes, MalwareBytes. If you go there, I'm not telling you to go there, then you can download a free software that is very good protection. You can upgrade to a paid thing. But basically, I use Malware Bytes. And you might want to go look, but remember, spell the bytes with a Y, and see if you want to. We asked Bill what was good to protect the Mac. He didn't know. He asked me. I did know. There are a number of them, but Malwarebytes is what I use and is very highly esteemed by people who are, if you can believe it, even smarter than me.
You know, Banco.
No.
You are reveling in the moment.
I have stumped the Collier.
Oh, no, you did. Carol did.
Oh, yes. I have watched a caller in her finally stump the Collier. Congratulations, Carol from Cold Spring.
I don't
we should
so.
Send
I
you some kind of trophy or something.
Between you, you've helped. You've helped. I was researching, by the way, a Russian film. And the Russian website seems like a really good idea, but maybe not.
No, listen, but also because you won that, we will be sending you 100,000 rubles. Just give us your bank account number and, you know.
And your
PIN. Tavorish.
Yeah, I didn't go that far.
Good.
I felt
good
like
for
a
you.
Fool.
Well, listen.
Well, you're no fool. It happens to a lot of people. Do not in any way feel like a fool.
Right. And by the way, congratulations on how you handled it. You did exactly the right thing in exactly the right way. You called your IT guy, a trusted IT
except
guy.
I have to say, Carol, the only one thing you did that you should never do, but now you know, and I want everybody in the air to know, never
call
ever.
Call Tech Talk and ask for advice.
No, never ever call any number that shows up on the computer and says, we're with Apple or Microsoft or... Yeah, your IP address has been suspended because of bad conduct.
All of the real companies, whether it's Mac or whether it's Motorola, whoever, all of the legitimate players, they will never tell you to call them at some number like that. It's just not the way they do business.
Now, I do call these numbers for fun, and I have learned many creative phrases in Hindi that I'm happy to share with some of them.
Yes,
but I won't repeat those.
But not over the air. Okay,
I will not repeat them over the air.
Thank you, good man.
But you guys, don't you think it's funny that the little Indian voice person said, "What part do you find kinky?" Like he wanted to learn how to do it better. My IT guy roared when he heard this. He thought that was so funny.
That is absolutely funny. Well, what's really funny is because he must have played this trick on other people who fell for it, but you were too clever. So, brava.
I guess so, but
you,
I was
Carol
slow.
From Cold Spring.
I was slow on the uptake.
I'm sorry, something about a cupcake.
I said I was slow on the uptake.
Oh, slow on the uptake. I thought you said you were slow on the cupcake, and I couldn't make heads or tails out of that.
I'm never slow on a cupcake. Never.
I am not slow in a cupcake either. I'm just gonna confess that right now.
Okay.
Thank
so,
you.
So careful, Colson. Let's open the line to other callers. But you
were tovarish. We have
thank you very much for your dramatic story with that and for your cleverness and happy ending.
We have
thank
Jack.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Bye guys.
Thank you. Bye.
We have Jack. Oh, we have a very interesting person calling. We have Jack.
Hello there.
Sensenbrenner. I can't see the thing very well.
The last name, Sensibar.
Ah, very good. Say
that's
the last
easy
name
one, I know.
It sounds so cool.
Well, as far as I'm one of the other programmers there on the station, Backtracks in Time.
Oh, good.
Yes. So I just want to, call in. I know this is the last day of the pledge drive, or tomorrow, I believe. And I encourage people to call in, and need support our community radio.
Very good. And if you're interested in supporting shows like Jack's and ours, it's WGXC.org/donate. Do that now and help us out to raise our budget for the monthly budget. Become a continuing supporter or a one-time donation of any kind. Jack, tell us about your show and why it's awesome.
Okay, well, it's called Backtracks in Time, and it's on local Greene County history. I've been doing the show for about 4.5 years now. It's a monthly show, and it started May of 2016. And I just think, with a station like this that has, I just said this, I've hosted pledge shows before on my show, that the variety of shows on WGXC is great because there's something for everybody on there. And especially like with, the news and so forth, a local station can be, let's just say that mainstream media can be slightly biased, just slightly. And, local stations like this can give, both sides of an issue without being beholden to one side or the other. But there's something for everybody on the station and just needs to be supported. And I think, as far as my show, well, I'm only slightly biased, but hopefully people can learn some local history if they have an interest in that. And because that's something that needs to be preserved in this area. Learn about the old buildings and places and things that we've got here. And so it's passed on. And so, it's a learning station too. So, whatever the subject happens to be, in my case, history, but on the other shows as well. So,
Jack, what time is your show? What time and what day?
Well, it's normally the fourth Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. But since the COVID happened and they shut down the studio, I don't have a home studio at home, so I've done one show that I used an app called Free Conference Call. Lynn told me about it. I wouldn't have even known. I'm not exactly technologically advanced here. And so I managed to record one show like that, and I'm working on another one. Hopefully we get back to normal soon. But I don't know when it's going to be aired. It's kind of putting in wherever it can be.
I have a pop quiz for you.
Yes.
And since I don't know what your show is, I'm going to ask you right here. Uh-oh. And that is, why is Greene County named Greene County?
After Nathaniel Greene. I believe he served in the Revolutionary War. And if I'm not mistaken, was one of the, I'm not going to say the next part, but he served in the Revolutionary War, so the county was named after him.
I have a question for you, Jack. Jack, this is Bill. First off, again, thank you for calling in. And listen, folks, if you want to support guys like Jack, please go to WGXC.org/donate and help us out, participate in our fund drive. Jack, what is the oldest thing that has ever been on your show or mentioned on your show?
Oldest thing that's been mentioned. Oh, boy. I'm going back 4.5 years of doing the show monthly.
And Baco's never been on your show, but if you ever interviewed him, he would easily be the oldest.
I would take the prize. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'd say, well, I did have, I read some excerpts of a book called, about a local Greene County soldier that was in the Civil War. His name was Isaac G. Wilbur, and the book was, compiled by Sylvia Hasenkopf. From the Cairo Historical Society. She's been on my show several times. And so it was letters that she compiled, letters of this Isaac Wilbur, who served in the Civil War, letters back home and what was going on with the war and so forth. That goes back 1860s there. Off the top of my head, I have to think back all the, what was the oldest thing I had, but that I can come up with on the spur of the moment.
Okay, so can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, so that's difficult. You're talking about the oldest thing in your show. What's the oldest thing in your house, Mr. Historian?
The oldest thing in my house. Let's see. I'd probably say looking around here, I'd probably say I got an old. There's an old steer. Oh no! My dad used to use it. An old manual typewriter. really old one.
Jack, cool. I got you beat.
It's down the cellar. It hasn't been used in years, but that could be a museum.
I have 5,000-year-old, 5,000-year-old Native American drills.
Bill has a 5,000-year-old manual typewriter.
No, I have a 5,000-year-old Native American drill.
Native American language.
No, Native American drills.
Well, that's something that got me beat.
But Bill, you, since you are descended from Neanderthal stock, as we all know, the Native Americans are a recent flash in the pan to you, not to mention
us. They're relatively newcomers. I'm with the Jack. I'm with the OP, the original people.
Okay.
And you know we've got some issues with you know with the Europeans and our homeland. So you know we'll be hearing more about that in the coming days, I'm sure, Jack.
Oh, I'm sure I will. Yes,
Jack. So, awesome having you call in. Listen,
great.
Jack,
your show sounds just absolutely mesmerizing.
I think it's pretty great.
And you knew who Mr. Green was, Nathaniel Green, on top of it all. So you are the real deal. Well, we'll give you the last word. We don't want you like that, so that he can ring off and we can make room for our next caller.
Okay. Well, again, good luck with the pleasure drive and have a good rest of the show. Thanks for letting me call in.
And
thank you very much, Jack.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bill, tell our faithful listeners where they can call in and where they can go on the website so they can become a sustaining member for, you know, $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, to keep WGXC and the voice of the community vital, and to not just know that it will be there for them, but to know that they have helped to be there for everybody else in the listening area, which would include the entire world since it's streamed on the World Wide Web as well as broadcast in the greater Accra area.
After he said all that, wgxc.org/donate. Thank you very much. Call-in number is 518-697-7400 or 518-622-2598. If you would like to have your tech questions mangled helplessly. And we have Jessica from California. Greetings, Jessica.
Hooray. Hello. Welcome back, Jessica, if you're assuming you're the same Jessica.
I am the same Jessica. I'm calling back as promised.
Did I ruin your phone? Did I completely destroy your phone with my advice?
You did not ruin or destroy anything. I did download the app as you advised. I still have a mystery in terms of how to move the internal shared storage over to the Samsung SD card that I purchased with plenty of storage. But I appreciate you taking the time, and I will probably need to take it into someone who's at Verizon to help me with it, because I have tried tapping the function, the little menu. It says migrate data, and then when I try, it fails out, and there's a fail message. So there might also be a glitch in the phone. It's an older phone, as we discussed last week. So
I would say that it probably is an old phone, and it's probably got a glitch in it. If you take it to somebody, they may reinstall the software and see if that works. There'd be more things that, like, beyond what I could tell you on the show, because I'm not looking at it in front of me, so it's difficult to do. But it should have worked when you did that. So if it didn't work, then, as they say, it's not working. So I would definitely try to see. I mean, I don't know if you know anybody around you like that kind of knows these phones, but it may be also time to consider doing an upgrade, although that can be expensive too. So
it can be. I mean, but I am curious about one other thing, which I'm not sure we can actually tackle on a 5-minute phone call, but I have, as I mentioned last week, I have a cloud storage setup with my iPad, and I ran into a question mark where it started asking me, so I was trying to delete photos, but not from the cloud storage, only from the device, so that I could get it to the Mac desktop instead, and there was a warning message that said it was going to delete it off of all platforms, and I wasn't sure how to delete just off of one device rather than from the whole cloud.
Wow, that's a great question. Do you know why I know that's such a great question? I have asked myself that question, and I have not been smart enough to figure out the answer. Now, I doubt Bill is smart enough to figure out the answer either, but let's give him a shot.
Well, actually, it is it sort of is an issue. You almost have to go into each of these devices and individually disconnect them from the cloud instead of trying to do it remotely, because you're not connected to those devices, if that's what you're talking about. But however, so if you, in other words, if you were deleting something from one from a cloud, it's going to tell you it'll delete it from all of your devices, but you're really just trying to disconnect it from one device. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Yeah.
And of course, then I don't delete it anywhere because I want to keep it in general. I just don't want to keep it on that one device. But then I worry if I disconnect it from the cloud, will I realize like how to reconnect it and all these other things? So I just get intimidated and nervous, and then I just don't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, I have a device that I don't want to use a cloud, and what I ended up doing is just removing this software from my computer and just leaving it at that.
Interesting.
That's not necessarily a practical response for
they want us all to have five different ones of everything they have. They want us all upgrading every 2 years or every year, and they want us all slave to the technology.
I mean, this is something like, again, if I was sitting down with you and I was looking at the computer, I might be able to look at the different menu options. There's often these things are buried in the menu, but without the menu in front of me, I couldn't figure out which one I haven't memorized them all, but generally there should be.
Well, but if Ralph has the same question, maybe Ralph can bring his device in sometime and you can talk about
it on the show. I tell you what I will do is I'm actually going to. So what cloud are you trying to disconnect from, Jessica?
Say that one more time.
Which one are you trying to disconnect from, like OneDrive or what?
I think it's just the Apple cloud because I have an iPad and then I have a Mac desktop computer, and those two are linked in the cloud, I guess, for my Apple ID. So,
okay,
in theory,
I should have access to the photos if
I delete it from the iPad to make space on the storage if I wanted to download something
else. Jessica, I will research this to double check, but my first gut reaction is, because I have an Apple product too, is once you're in their little ecosystem with your little Apple ID, you don't get to disconnect from the mothership.
Right, and I don't want to disconnect from the membership. I just want to take the photos off the iPad without deleting them from the cloud. And I can't figure out how to do that.
You want to take them off the iPad, but if the iPad's connected to the cloud, it'll just automatically delete them from the cloud because the iPad is connected.
Right, and I don't want to delete them from the cloud. I only want to take them off the iPad. It's so frustrating.
But what you want to do is copy them.
And some people like me want to take some pictures off of the cloud and leave them only on my hard drive. And I can't figure it out. Jessica and I have reciprocal problems, and you're not much help, Collier.
I will actually research this and get you an answer. There is an answer, but again, it's difficult for me to like just walk through it. There should be a way for you to decide to put the photos on just the device only, and or to only put them in the cloud. So, Jessica, you sound like you want them on the cloud, but not on the physical device. And
yeah, I want to free up some memory on the device.
Yeah, okay. So that's actually what sounds like is your core problem. And the software should have a way to do that. I will research this, and I'll play with one of my Apple devices until I figure it out. And then I will let everybody know.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Jessica.
I forgot the whole Apple,
ecosystem.
This is Wendy from New Rochelle, who's probably calling to tell me what a fabulous job I'm doing.
Why would she do that? Why would she do a thing like that?
Because she's honest.
Hello, Wendy from New Rochelle.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Can I say you are doing a wonderful job?
Oh, my gosh. Don't do that. We have to take a stick of butter to his temples to get his big old head through the door. And now we're never going to be able to get him out of the studio. We're just going to have to throw in some red meat every now and then. So
no, you're going to need two bars.
Don't flatter the boy.
Get him out. Okay, my question is, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, what's the difference between TikTok and TED Talk?
TikTok and Tech Talk? You mean us?
Tech Talk, yes.
Well, Bill, you actually know that. I've actually seen two or three Tech Talk little streaming miniature videos because my son likes to send them to me, my elder son.
You mean TikTok. TikTok. You've seen TikTok videos.
I've seen TikTok videos, and we are Tech
Talk. I know you haven't seen Tech Talk videos.
Yes, and by the way, while we're at it, what's the difference between Tech Talk and TED Talks?
Well, in both accounts, Tech Talk is the cerebral platform, whereas TikTok is not so cerebral and fun. Now, I hope we're fun too, but we're probably not quite as fun as TikTok. And TikTok is probably not quite as intelligent as us. But TikTok is an app that goes on your phone and that you see a bunch of cute short videos. People do lip syncing to all kinds of songs or silly. They have practical jokes on each other. Sometimes you can just sit and get mesmerized and watch like these short videos for hours on end and completely lose yourself in the whole. Not that I ever do that, no, mind you. But it is big fun, whereas Tech Talk is only an hour every Monday at 7 to 8 on WGXC Radio.
In Accra, New York.
And
by the way, WGXC.org/donate is where you can give them your credit card number and for $5 a month become a sustaining member to help feed the heads of all of those lovely people in Accra, Hudson, and they may reach all the way to Cairo. Anyway. So Bill, your friend Donald Trump, DJ Trump, as we call him.
Oh yeah, we're just real pals.
Yeah, you and your pal Donald, when you're not out there. What's that place in Florida that you guys like to hang out on? The Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, you know, listen, me and Joe.
Yeah, you and Big Joe.
Relationship with Joe.
Big Joe, I know, but does DJ know that there are 80 million Americans who use TikTok, and if he crushes it, that's 80 million votes that he's not going to get, which is more votes than he actually got last time. Have you warned him about this?
Why do you think they put it off to November 12th, Pinko?
Aha! Well, there you go. I didn't realize it was put off to November 12th. I thought you said it was next week.
No, I said November 12th.
So would you tell Wendy exactly what, without all this flapdoodle embellishment, what is TikTok?
I did, but I'm going to let you get a stab at it since you seem to know more.
TikTok are these cute little 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 second videos that you can watch on your phone once you go to the App Store and download a free copy of TikTok. I don't know why they call it TikTok. I thought that was the sound that a clock makes prior to there being digital clocks. But there it is. And according to wallaroommedia.com, which is on the internet and therefore must ipso facto be true, there are 80 billion TikTokers in the U.S. audience, 60% female, 40% male, 60% between the ages of 16 and 24. I guess the younger end of that probably can't vote, at least not legally. 26% between 25 and 44, and 80% between 16 and 34. But Bill, aren't you a little old for TikTok? Isn't this like a Gen Z kind of thing?
I don't know. For, you know, when I was young, not too long ago. People always told me that I had to dress and act a certain way because I was too young to do that. And now that I'm old, now they're trying to play the same thing in reverse. And I'll tell everybody what I told them when I was young. I will act any damn daggone age I want to act at any given time. So TikTok videos last no more than 60, that's 60 seconds, and they're just really cool and fun. There are a lot of older people on TikTok, believe it or not, Mr. Banco. More tech-savvy people, so that's probably why to you it's just a big dark hole.
Oh, no, when they said they were taking, they might take it away, I downloaded it. So it's not a dark hole, it's a big bright hole.
That is awesome.
And what does this have to do with those little white candies that come in the little plastic, those little plastic rectangles that are for sale right there at the checkout counter of most grocery stores?
Those would be Tic Tacs.
Tic Tacs, I get it. So we've got
Tic Tacs, TikTok, and Tech Talk.
And not to mention TED Talks.
And TED Talks. I think all of them are owned by the same conglomerate.
Yes, me. But
So Wendy, now you know that Banco is the
secret, the hidden hand
behind the machine.
All of the greatest inventions of Western
what
civilization.
What a revelation.
We need to, don't we? We need to overthrow Banco. I agree.
I think she said evolution. Did she say evolution or revolution?
No, the people have spoken, or as they say on the show Survivor, the tribe has spoken, Ralph. It's time for you to go.
Where?
Anywhere.
Okay, well, I'm already there. So, Wendy, that was a great question. Thank you very much for calling in. I'm sure you were disappointed by Bill's answer, but, you know, it was definitely worth a shot.
She was well pleased with the answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, well, we have 10 more minutes left to confound and confuse our listening audience, Bill. You've been doing a great job with that so far. What do you got up your sleeve?
I really don't have much up my sleeve right this second. But we do have, Farouk. Our good friend Farouk from North Carolina, the smartest man I know.
Well, thank you so much for that kind introduction. I have an important, probably the most important question I've asked you gentlemen thus far, so thank you for having me again. I'm dealing with something at home that has to do with gaming. I'm not a gamer. And it's not so much the games I'm interested in asking you about, but I have an 8-year-old, amazing, you know, beautiful daughter. She is my world. She has become extremely good at playing games like Minecraft. Initially, I was very cautious. I still am, but when I saw the creations she's able to complete, buildings and structures, and we don't let her on Minecraft interact with any other player with the exception of one family whose daughter is same age as my daughter. They know each other's codes and they're able to interact in that virtual space. So I want to support it. I realize as somebody who's enthusiastic about technology, I want to support it. I don't want to make this claim that, hey, listen, I didn't have any games growing up, so you're not going to have any games growing up. Rather, I think it's giving her a very interesting perspective, especially since both of my parents were architects. I'm amazed at the similarity of, say, AutoCAD, obviously in a much more rudimentary way, but Minecraft sort of gives children the same ability to build spatial understanding and really be able to create things out of their imagination. So my question is this. Security is becoming a factor when it comes to other games. I think Minecraft, we've got it under control. But what we're having a difficult time is with games like Roadblock, which is a similar type of virtual space you may have heard about or have familiarity with. what we're seeing is these virtual games, other players are able to interact with our daughter, even unlike Minecraft, even though we have not invited them to interact with us. So my question is, from safety protocols, is there anything we can purchase or do something preventatively or proactively to ensure there are no bad players gaining access and communication with my daughter, because I can't be with her, you know, 24/7 when she's playing?
So there's numerous software out there.
Before that, look, this is a really good question. This is about the interaction between real life and the digital world. And, you know, this is one of those things where it is, you're much to be commended, Farouk, for your diligence, both in making sure that your daughter gets to play this, one of these fascinating, very enjoyable games, and that she doesn't feel deprived because you're being, you know, a nervous Nelly or an old fogey, or like Bill Collier, both. And yet you are still mindful that there are, in fact, that she is vulnerable, and there are a tiny number of predators on the internet. I say tiny number because the mainstream media likes to hype this as if there was a predator around every corner. But the fact is, it's not a completely safe environment. And just like you wouldn't be sending your daughter downtown on all by herself at 8 years old on a bus unsupervised, then you're much to be commended as a devoted parent to be figuring out, you know, parsing out how you can keep her safe without infringing on her sense of fun and adventure. Is that Bill, do you think that's a fair characterization of the situation that Farouk is describing to us?
Yeah.
Yes, and Farouk, so the answer is actually pretty direct. I'll direct you to a site called safewise.com. They have a resource page for what are called parental control apps. What these apps will allow you to do is to monitor your child's activities, to decide who can and cannot get access to these games, to alert you if somebody's trying to come in. A lot of the virtual worlds, they're working on solutions to this, but one of the things predators are doing is going in and trying to, you know, more or less recruit kids. That is one approach. The other approach, and also you should look this up, look for resources, educate your own children. What the best defense against this kind of activity, you can get the software and all that. You can't stop them from engaging the technical world because they're going to have to learn. If your child, if you said, hey, and I know you're not doing this, but if somebody said, hey, I'm not going to let my kid go online, that's the easiest way to keep them safe. Well, that's true, but when they get 18 years old and are out on their own and don't know the digital world, they're not going to be able to get a job. So you kind of, it's a balancing act, educating your child about the dangers and ways to protect themselves online is the best thing. Now, 8 is a little young for that, so you really need to lean heavily on the software and really monitor the activity very carefully. And as you're doing that, then begin, as it's age appropriate, to teach her how to identify somebody trying to groom her or suck her into a situation. I actually, when I was young, for whatever reason, I went through a bunch of stuff. I went to a boarding school, and they taught us how to identify grooming and this and that. Very unusual. This is in the 70s and very early 80s. When my kids came along,
Bill, their training on your personal grooming was a catastrophic failure.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different animal.
Who do you sue?
That's a whole different animal. My own kids, I monitored their time. We didn't have a lot of parental control software in the 2000s, but I did monitor their time. I restricted the amount of time they could be online so that it wasn't too great. And because of the in my case, I didn't need the software because I hacked everything and pretty much I tracked everything they did. And, you know, my son Arthur, somebody was telling him, oh, you just go online and do that. Your dad will never find out. And he says, oh, no, not my dad. He'll hack you. He'll find everything, even on your computer. I don't hack people, but I mean, my own kids, I did find ways to
to spy on them.
I definitely spied on my kids without shame, without yes. any kind of shame, to protect them. And basically, but I also taught them or tried to teach, I did teach them how to identify threats. And I encouraged their exploration in a safe way. Today, it's even easier to encourage. In a way, it's easier because the software is better now, but it's more difficult because mm-hmm. the predators are also more numerous and all over the place. Does that help you at all, Farouk?
It does. I've taken note of the software and the website you mentioned. I'm definitely going to do that. This is sort of new to me. I've never really been into gaming. So seeing my daughter sort of experience it and seeing how she's very she's diverse in her interests. So this is not like an all-day, every-day thing, but I want to support it. Now, I do have a very, very quick, I know because time is very short, very quick follow-up, which is what I intended to also ask.
Wait, before you follow up, can I just make one?
Very quickly, if I could. Do I have time?
Yeah, go ahead.
But just let me make one point, and that is your best defense.
It has to do with the law enforcement side of it. And you mentioned hacking, and that's what reminded me to bring back to that. If we look at somebody that appears to be behaving in an improper way online, in one of these virtual worlds, do we have any means of catching them? In other words, can we try to find out who they are? Are there any protocols in place that we should, you know, obviously get their name? You know, if they were to solicit my daughter with some improper, you know, or inappropriate information or inquiries, is there anything I should follow protocol-wise? And what, if anything, can law enforcement do based on today's advancement of technology?
The FBI website, FBI.gov, actually, and you can just try to do a search for cyber stalking and, you know, these kind of, there's a reporting system there. You want to take a screenshot, okay. But don't get yourself personally involved in trying to track somebody down, because if you track them, then they can find that you are tracking them, and that opens a whole other can of worms. Unless you're a professional, do not try to hunt criminals down, because that opens you to vulnerabilities as well. So the game, the platform itself should have its own reporting system, and take screenshots of anything you see, because that's the best evidence.
And Bill, just slow down, okay? Because you've just hit on the key thing. These companies patrol because it is commercially lethal for them to be tolerant of any kind of mm-hmm. Nefarious behavior. The FBI mm-hmm. is a paper tiger. I'm sorry to tell you that. Bill and I actually had this experience about 12 years ago when we were the proprietors of the largest conservative social media website of the day, TeamSarah.org. I was the network creator. Mm-hmm. Bill was the community manager. And we got invaded by the Democratic Underground and other nefarious forces. And when we never got any action out of the FBI. The FBI is understaffed, undertrained, and moves very slowly, because they, you know, it's not like you see on TV where somebody blows the whistle and they go in and they make the case. It's a very complicated bureaucracy. Your best bet is to go to the find out who is the who is in charge of policing the site. And I guarantee you that information will be on the homepage of whatever internet gaming site you want to be. And you will report the person by their name. And Bill is exactly right. If you take screenshots of the nefarious behavior, mm-hmm. that is very, very helpful, because it shows that you're not just making it up. That is your best bet to blow the whistle on anybody who you think is acting creepy toward your daughter. Go to the site owners, the site proprietors. They will have systems in place. And by the way, their systems tend to be overreactive. Even when it comes to places like Facebook and Twitter, they do not want creepy activity on their site. It could destroy their business. So, Bill, right. Do you concur?
Yes, that I do concur. I would still report to the FBI, though it doesn't hurt. And I have had an experience, which I won't get into in the last 20 seconds here, where the FBI actually did follow up on a situation where a child was being threatened.
So they do tend to act a little bit more on the children's side, in my experience. We only have 10 seconds to go, folks. WGXC.org.